what does the word gutsy mean to you?
It is about listening to your gut, and it is about really doing what you believe you should be doing rather than following all the noise that's out there that is telling you what to do. It's about listening to yourself and being brave to pursue what your gut tells you.
You're listening to the Gutsy Podcast, where we talk about all things real, raw, and ridiculous about running a business authentically. Whether you need an inspirational pick-me-up or a swift kick in the mental ass, the Gutsy Podcast is your bi-weekly guide to getting out of your head and back into action. I'm Laura Ora, branding and mindset coach for female entrepreneurs, and your host on this journey through entrepreneurship. It's time to fuel your Gutsy.
You're a high-achieving working mom. You really love to work. It fuels your mind. It stretches your mind. And you also love being a great mom. Spoiler alert, you can do and be both. You want to strive for more, but as a result, struggle with a shame and guilt around how much time you're spending working versus being with your kids and vice versa, and often question if you're doing a good enough job raising the humans that you've brought into this world. Today, we're talking to personal growth educator Elena Mychuk about getting rid of working mom guilt in three simple steps, backed with lots of reframing and new perspectives on what balance really means. Elena is a personal growth educator for multifaceted women, founder of a personal development company, Brevery, and the host of the Brevery Handbook podcast. Elena works with high-achieving, deeply responsible working women, women who wear many different hats, who strive for more, and who struggle with shame and guilt because they feel that by dedicating their time to their careers or spending time on themselves, they sacrifice their most important mission in life, being a mother. Before we chat with Elena today, I have a small yet mighty request of you. I am an absolute sucker for doing this show. Like, I just absolutely love connecting with people, having these conversations, bringing the thoughts and the feelings that so many of us are thinking, feeling, and experiencing in isolation, bringing them out into the public and inspiring you how to move forward. And so if you're loving the show, if you're taking some wisdom away from it, I have two requests of you. One, can you hit the subscribe button? I know many of you are active on Apple, some of you are on Spotify, wherever you're listening and tuning into the podcast, if you could hit the subscribe button, that makes sure that you get notifications each time a new episode airs. And second, I also know that great people roll with other great people. And so if there is one friend in your life that you know could benefit from getting out of her own way, from taking steps forward in her life to really feeling nurtured and supported and encouraged in her life and in her career, would you send the Gutsy Podcast to her today? Part of my mission is to help more women do more of the things that they actually truly want to do and to feel supported while they're doing it. So if you could send this along to that friend that came top of mind, I would super duper big puffy heart appreciate it. All right, my friend, this is a really, really good episode. If you're a working mom, if you are struggling with work-life balance, if you are just beating yourself up about the mom guilt, this episode is just an absolute gem. So let's get into it. Elena, welcome to the Gutsy Podcast.
Thank you for having me, Laura. I'm so excited to be here.
Absolutely. We're talking about a topic today that I think rings so, so heavily true for a lot of career women that are mothers, right? This concept around wanting to work and also wanting to be a great mom, and how do you balance that and all this. So we're going to get into the nitty gritty of that today. How's that sound?
Sounds wonderful. I love talking about this. It's so close to my heart, to my life, and I'm sure it's close to yours, and I hope it's going to be really useful for all of you guys listening there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to start off just learning a little bit more about you. Tell me about your journey. What has led you to where you are today?
It's been a long and bumpy journey. So for 30 years of my life, I thought I had a plan, and I was building my life that I thought was going to be the perfect life. I was basically following the pattern or the path that I thought was going to give me what I wanted. So I went to school, I got a job, I got married when I was 21 years old. I wanted to have a kid, and I knew that I wanted to have a kid before I turned 30. Don't ask me why. Back then, I thought I'm going to be too old if I don't give birth after 30. So I wanted to get pregnant at the age of 27. I did. And I thought like everything was really going according to plan. And then one day I was having a very casual conversation with one of my colleagues, a guy who we worked together with, and we were having some problem at work. And I was struggling to solve the issue, and he offered help. He said, "Don't worry, Elena, we'll do this together. We'll solve this problem together." And that was like a strike of lightning in my head. In my, at that time, 8 years of marriage, I had never heard my husband say something like that. And I was like, wow, I have built this marriage and I don't feel supported in this marriage. I don't want that anymore. I don't need that anymore. I want to have support and level of support in my marriage that is at least the same as I get from a colleague at work. But I had a family, and I had so many doubts about what do I do now with my life and with my marriage and with my family, because my daughter was 3 back then, and I couldn't just file for divorce. I thought that if I do that, it will ruin my family, it will ruin her life, and I thought I really needed to keep the family for her. And it took me 9 months of struggles and really thinking through it and battling myself until one day I realized that my daughter doesn't just need a family. She needs a good family. She needs a happy family. And most importantly, she needs a happy mom. And if her mom is not happy, then I'm not doing her any good by keeping that marriage. That was a life turning point. It shifted everything, because after that, I filed for divorce. And after that, my whole life fell apart, because once I started questioning my marriage, then I started questioning everything else. Who I am, what I do, where I want to live, like what life is all about. It was the first time in my life at the age of 30 when I started really asking myself a question, what do I want from my life? And it took me 7 years to sort of figure it out. And I moved from Ukraine to the United States in 2017 as a single mom, because I felt like I needed to be in charge of my life. I was desperately in need of some autonomy. I wanted to rebuild my life from ashes. And people were telling me, Olena, you're crazy. You're moving to another side of the world, to a country you've never lived there. You don't know anybody there. But I knew I wanted that. I needed that. So I took the leap, and I never looked back, because then I met my now husband, and we have a wonderful marriage. We have a great relationship. He's the best father for our daughter. And I continued building my career. And then I started my business, because I realized that so many other women are struggling with the same. They follow that path that they were once told, but they don't really know what's out there for them. And I want to help them find that path, come back to themselves, embrace themselves, take charge of their lives like I did. Because now looking back, I know that once I did that, everything has changed and my life has completely changed. And I just want to spread the word and help others experience the same.
Wow. What an incredible story, you know, and again, I think one that is just so relatable. You know, I'm certain that there's someone listening right now, kind of at that teetering point of her own. You know, do I stay? Do I go? Do I move? Do I keep doing this? Do I stay in the marriage? Do I shake everything up? And I think that anytime that we're faced with a big life change, whether it's in marriage or where you live or your work or your business or whatever is happening, that sense of responsibility around the kiddos really comes to the forefront. I mean, you shared how, you know, I don't want to disrupt her life. I don't want to ruin her life. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And it's like, There's so much heaviness around worrying about what your choice is going to do to your child. So
yeah, absolutely.
How, I mean, I know you kind of had this like aha moment, but what are some things that you did or that you teach people on when you're in that kind of moment, when it's time to make a decision, when you can really feel yourself wavering back and forth?
I can go so deep and so wide here, just with this one question. And I guess I will start with saying that we, as parents, we want to believe that we always want to do the best for our kids, right? We want to make sure that whatever we decide, whatever actions we take, will work in their advantage. But the truth is, we don't know if that's what's going to happen. We don't know what they will think 20 years later about what happened or what could have happened. So I think this is what helped me at some point. I think the best we can do as parents, as human beings, honestly, is live our best life. Because what I also noticed with my daughter, and I'm sure you have seen this with your kid as well, our kids, they don't really follow what we tell them to do. They copy what we do. They repeat our words. They take actions based on what they see us do or their friends do, whoever they think is cool. And I think by living our life in the best way possible, we set that example for them. We show them what it's like to be having dreams, to be pursuing them, to be confident in your own body, to be strong, to be taking the leap, to be free to express yourself the way you want to express yourself. And this is really the only thing we can do and we can be certain about. So once I realized that, once that thought really settled in my mind, then even the idea of guilt, my passion, I shouldn't be guilty about it, because I'm showing my daughter that it's okay to be pursuing your passion. And it's okay to take time for yourself when you need rest, when you're tired. It's okay to go to the bedroom and take a nap, even if you feel like, oh, I should be with my kid tonight. Because again, I show her that it's okay to be prioritizing yourself. I don't want to be showing her that it's not okay, that it's okay to put yourself last. That's not the example that I want to set. And I think this is that mindset shift that we lack, because our society is so polarized. We are being told that it's either work or family. To me, it's about having both, but it's about knowing what you need to prioritize at any point in time, like today, this week, this minute, this hour, whatever you need.
Right. Yeah. You know, that whole societal pressure, right? I mean, it just really gets to us, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, because we have all this. Our parents, they worked so hard, and I didn't spend a lot of time with my parents when I was a kid. I don't have a lot of memories doing some things with my parents. Like me and my daughter and my husband, we go rock climbing every weekend. I never did this, anything like this when I was a kid with my parents. And of course, part of me feels like when I work, when I naturally take time away from her. So I don't want her to think 20 years later that my mom never had time for me. But again, I think it's about knowing that what you do while you're not with your kid is also something valuable. It's something important. It's something that maybe makes some positive change for the future that she will live in. This is also how I like to think about it, because when we connect with who we are, when we really follow our passions, this is when we can really create something, some positive change. And by doing that, we enable the future that our children will live in. If we don't do that today, they might not have a future to live in.
That's so true. Spending time being with your kids is so beautiful and important, right? Like, I mean, I think that our generation in general, we grew up with a different set of parents and a different society than what we're raising our kids in, because it's just different, right? It's not right, wrong. It's just different. And I think that sometimes we see that, you know, our parents, our grandparents, you know, they worked morning, noon, and night, and we never saw them. And like, everything was always just kind of hush hush. And we didn't talk about feelings or emotions or money or anything. Like, everything was just very like, I'm an adult, you're a child, you know,
yeah.
Like there was a lot of separation. So I think that sometimes that subconscious programming of what we saw growing up, we don't want to repeat that because we're in a different world at this point, right? Like there's things have changed and thank goodness for that in a lot of different ways. But I think that sometimes subconsciously we think that if we work, then we're recreating what we grew up with.
Yeah. And it's really interesting that you mentioned that because I think we tend to fall into one of the two patterns. We either go to the absolutely opposite side of the spectrum and we say, I don't want to work. And this is what I'm seeing with Generation Z right now. Like they are embracing that very easy lifestyle, almost rejecting work at all because they don't want to repeat the struggles that the older generations went through. Or sometimes we repeat the patterns that our parents experienced just because we don't know of anything else. Like I did. I didn't know that I had a choice to not go to school. I probably would have still gone to school, but I didn't even think that I had a choice. The only pattern that I had was the example that I saw that my parents set for me. And because I wasn't exposed to a lot of information back then, there wasn't internet like our kids have right now. It's just, it was the only way I saw the path in front of me. I had a sister, I have a sister, and I thought that I needed to have two kids because of that. I thought that that was the standard. And it wasn't until I was about 35 years old when I realized that I'm fine having one kid and it's okay. And it's okay for us to want things that are different from what other people want. Some of us might have three kids. Some of us might have no kids. Some of us might want to pursue career. Some of us might want to choose parenthood. Some of us want to combine both. Either is good. Either is fine as long as it's really reflecting who you are. And I think this is where the real struggle is. We don't ask ourselves often enough what it is that we want. Yes. We are wired to be giving, all of us to other people all the time. And we forget that we need to give to ourselves something first in order to be able to give to others.
Yeah, you mentioned that it took you quite a while, 7 years, I think you mentioned, to figure out what it is that you wanted. What were some of the questions that you asked yourself? Like, how did you find out what you wanted?
That was not easy. And I remember I was really struggling with that. So after I went through the divorce, I was actually living with my parents for a while. Me and my daughter, we were living with my parents. And I knew that I didn't want to live with them forever. And I had a job, which I was okay with, but it wasn't fueling me. It wasn't really fulfilling me. It was giving me enough money, but I knew that I wanted something more. And at the same time, I was passionate about photography and I was even thinking about quitting my corporate job and becoming a photographer. And I remember Googling how to make a decision because I really couldn't decide. So what do I do? Do I continue my career? Do I quit? Do I move to another city? Do I move to another country? Because the interesting thing that I felt was I felt like I had so many doors in front of me and I could open any of them. I had so many opportunities, almost too many, and I didn't know which one to pick. So I know sometimes we feel like we don't have any opportunities. So I almost was in an opposite situation. I felt like any door I could open would be open for me, but I just didn't know which door I wanted to go through. And I even went on a three-week trip to Peru, adventurous trip, because I thought back then that if I run away, if I go out there, the answers will be revealed in front of me. I even had some Amazonian rituals done because, again, I heard that if you do these rituals, then the universe will tell you what to do. Well, guess what? It didn't happen. I got back home and I still felt lost and I still didn't know what to do. And all those articles that I could find on Google saying, oh, you need to write pros and cons and all these lists, that didn't work. Even though I'm a very logical person, but writing those lists didn't help me. Like I couldn't find the rational decision and the way to make a decision. So at some point, I just let myself be. I told myself, I'm going to stop trying to figure it out. I'm going to just enjoy my life today. I'm going to stop thinking about having to figure it out, because I felt all this pressure, even from my parents. They kept asking me, Olena, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And I felt this pressure that I need to decide, what do I need to do? And I also felt that pressure that because my first attempt to create my life path wasn't successful, now I need to make it right. Now I cannot make this mistake again. So I have to create this best possible future plan. And it just wasn't working that way. So I stopped. I intentionally stopped. And I just started enjoying my day-to-day life. I would go for a walk with my daughter. I would just live daily, do things that I like doing, that bring me energy, that bring me joy in the moment. And then I remember several months later, I woke up in the morning and I had this decision made in my head, because I had the offer from my company from several months prior about moving to the US. So they offered me that transfer. And back then I rejected that offer. I didn't want to do it. I wasn't sure that I wanted to do it. But that morning I woke up and I had this perfect clarity in my head. I want to do this. I am ready. I really want to do this. And it felt so good. It wasn't pressured at all. It just grew in me naturally. And because of that, I felt so excited. And I wasn't doubting anymore. I knew that it was the right decision. I knew that this is what I wanted to do, even though it was scary as hell. I had no idea what was going to happen. But I started making all the arrangements and planning. And it was so fun. And even though my parents were very unhappy about it, they didn't want their granddaughter to move to the other side of the world. But even then, didn't bring any more doubts in my heart, because I knew that that was the right decision. I didn't know how and why. Now I understand that it was just connected with my need and my value of autonomy. I really needed to get back in charge of my life, and that was the way to do it. So now I know how to make that process more intentional, because now I know that it all starts with connecting with yourself, with connecting with what you want, what you believe, what your values are, and going from there. But yes, it was like this trial and error process. That's why it took me so many years. And that's why I don't want other women to have to spend so many years of their lives trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, you know, there's such a power in that stillness. You know, we were faced with options or opportunities or change or you know, considering doing something different, and we want to fix it, right? We want to get out of the discomfort, we want to move on quickly, we want to have we want to make, I'm going to use air quotes, the right decision, right?
Yeah,
that can be very, very overwhelming to worry, am I doing the right thing? And I love your message about just stopping. Like, I want everyone to hear that that is an option. Like, you don't have to decide today. You know, there may be certain circumstances or situations that have time stamps on it, but in general, you don't have to make a decision right now. Like, that sense of urgency usually comes from within, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's just so counterintuitive that in order to move forward, you have to stop. We just don't think about it this way. Because we think that in order to move forward, we need to work harder, push harder, power through. But sometimes you really have to stop. And another thing is about trusting that the answers will come, because there is this sense of control, or at least illusion of control, that when you are doing something, when you're spinning the wheels, then you are moving in the right direction, even though you might be not moving in the right direction, but you think that you are. But if you stop, then it feels like you're not making any progress. And I remember even battling myself, because I want to know when I will have the answer. I want to be in charge and in control. And that's idea of trusting yourself or the universe or whatever you might want to call it, that someday the answers will come to you. Oh, but what if they don't? So there's this constant conflict in your head, and it's very, very tricky. And this is why I think what also helps is, again, reconnecting with your life today and finding those pieces of joy and meaning in your life today, because this is how you gain that energy, that clarity. It doesn't just come to you out of nowhere, even though it might sound like it does, but it really comes to you from that energy that you gain by looking around and doing things today that bring you joy today, instead of trying to think 10 years ahead what your life might look like in 10 years.
You know, this is one of those conversations that really needs to be heard by more. And so, like I asked in the beginning of this episode, I'll ask here yet again, as you're listening to today's episode, if there is a working mom coming to top of mind in your world, someone that you know is struggling with this balance, with this guilt, with this, I want to work, but want to be a great mom, would you just do her a solid and send her this episode? Because if you and I together can empower more women to embrace who they are, what their true joy and happiness is, and know how that positively affects their life and their kids' life, then my friend, we have just raised the vibration of this planet. So copy the link, hit the share button, send it to a friend that comes top of mind. Hell, maybe you've got two or three. And let's help and empower more women to know that they can do the things that they love and be a great mom at the same time. Yeah, it's almost like plugging back into the simple things, right? We're trying to reach and stretch for something that feels sometimes so far out of our abilities that, you know, that it's overwhelming. It's no wonder we're feeling disconnected and confused and overwhelmed, because we're trying to figure out things that don't yet exist.
Yeah.
I mean, if we just boil it down to like true facts, that's really what's happening. But when you take the opportunity of this stillness, and I think sometimes, especially with high achieving women, we think that stillness is like the devil, right? Like that's the worst possible thing. But I think that stillness sometimes gets a bad reputation, because stillness doesn't mean that I'm just sitting and staring at the wall, right? Stillness is like what you mentioned, taking walks with your daughter, doing things that bring you joy. You know, maybe it's watching a movie that you've been wanting to watch, or you're reading a book that you've been interested in, or sitting outside and drinking a cup of coffee under the morning sun, right? Like stillness doesn't mean that you're just staring into the abyss. It can be active, but it's intentionally active.
Yes, it's being mindful. It's taking the time to notice what is going on around you and in you, instead of just sitting. It's not about putting your life on pause. I like to give this example because I'm a runner, like not a professional runner, but I love running. And there is a type of run that's called fartlek, very funny name. The idea is that it's a set of intervals, speed intervals, and then in between those speed intervals, there are recovery intervals. But you don't stop running, because in the standard speed run, there is a speed interval, then you stop, you take a breath, you recover, then you start running again. In fartlek, you constantly run. You just change the speed. And when I tried it for the first time, I was amazed that you can recover while still running. You're not stopping. You're still running. You're just reducing the pace. And it gives you the ability to recover for the next speed interval. This is, I think, what our life is really all about. It's about dialing up, dialing down when you need to, and giving yourself permission to do it as well when you need to. Because once you try it for the first time, once you realize the power that it gives you and that the way that you can recharge your batteries by doing that, then you will feel more comfortable doing it next time, because you will know that in order to speed up in 6 months, you really need to dial it down today.
Yes. What a beautiful, that's a great example. I mean, that's a really great example, because you're building your own endurance with that, right? You're building your own strength. You're able to intentionally slow things down. Like, I know so many of us, you know, we want to have control of things. We want to make sure that things are in the right place and all this. How much more control can you have than what you just explained? Like when you intentionally slow down to recover and to tap in, that is incredible control, right? Because most people won't give themselves permission to do it, which brings me into this this thought that keeps coming up that I want to talk about is like doing things like that for myself is selfish. I'm pulling away from other people. I'm not helping people move forward. I'm not being as active as everyone else, is used to me being. Like, taking time for myself is selfish. Help me debunk that, my friend.
Oh, yes, this is such a good one. And I have noticed in my own experience that whenever I'm stressed after a hard work day or something, I can very easily raise my voice at my daughter. She will say something to me, or she will just come to my office and I'll get very emotional. On the other hand, if I'm calm, if I'm recharged, if my container is full, then I can much easier contain her emotion. And this itself is a sign that in order for us, again, as parents, to be better parents for our kids, we have to make sure that our container is full. It's our duty. It's our responsibility, really. It's not about us being selfish. It's about us being able to support our children in their emotional growth, because they cannot contain their emotions. We were in the middle school application process in the fall, and that was stressful. The tutoring, test preparation, all the interviews. My daughter would come from school some days and she would just lay on the couch and she would cry and whine for an hour. And all I could do was just sit next to her and try to stay sane. And I can tell how much of a difference it made when I was calm, when I had a nice day at work before that, versus when I had a stressful day at work before that. It was so much harder for me to not pull my hair while sitting next to her if I had had some challenges going on at work. So I think we have to take time for ourselves to recover and recharge. It is not being selfish. It is our duty. It is what makes us better parents, because our children need that. They don't need us, our bodies, to be sitting next to them on the couch. They need our mental presence, our emotional presence. And the only way we can achieve that is by taking care of ourselves. It's like when you get on an airplane, you have to put on your mask first before you assist others, which might sound counterintuitive again, but this is how it works, because they know that you cannot help anybody else unless you help yourself first.
I love that reframe, that it's our duty. It's our responsibility. Like, caring for ourselves is our responsibility, because by doing that, we are a better parent for our child. We are a better spouse. We're a better coworker. We're a better leader, right? Like, we're better
everything. We're just really better.
But again, we've been so programmed that like taking care of yourself has to be, either some eccentric, fluffy thing that is just like over the top, or it's just completely selfish. And it doesn't have to be anything other than what it is for you. Back to what we were saying earlier, like caring for yourself, you running, you going rock climbing with your family, like those are beautiful things. Those are things that you're caring for your body, you're caring for your mind, and you're a better person because of those things. Not to mention, I'm going to imagine that it probably makes you pretty happy.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, and I think what you said is very is right, that you have to find what works for you, because it's not necessarily about taking a spa day, or it's not even going on vacation. If you go on vacation but you keep thinking about work and you pull your laptop and sit with your laptop on the beach, it's not necessarily taking care of yourself. And it's not about necessarily meditating. I've never had a lot of success with meditation, but once I discovered outdoor runs, this is my type of meditation. It really frees up my mind, and I always come back refreshed after 30 minutes of running. I know that if I get too stressed, it means I need to go for a run.
Yeah, I'm the same way with walking. Just when I'm feeling kind of gunked up, when I'm feeling like my head is too loud, when I'm very energetically inclined. So when I'm feeling a lot of like tension or just built up energy in my body, your body always communicates with you. Always. Our only job is to listen. And yes. And movement, is one of the most underrated tools that so many people have. Like
definitely, yeah.
a 20-minute walk, a 30-minute run. Like we're not talking about taking on a marathon every day. We're talking about intentionally moving your body. I have never regretted taking a walk.
Yeah, I've never regretted doing a workout. And sometimes I don't feel like it, but there was no single time after the workout when I thought, oh, I wish I hadn't done it. That never happens.
Yes. Something that you shared with me that I thought was really interesting is about reframing this whole concept of work-life balance, because I think that again is another phrase that gets us up in our head that makes us feel like we have to do it right or we're doing it a wrong way. So when we're talking about, you know, having a career and also being a mom, those things don't have to compete with one another, right? They really can coincide and live in one unity, but we get wrapped up in a work-life balance. What is your reframe? What's your retake on that? How can we get out of that mindset and into something that is actually a lot more productive?
Yeah, I love how you said that these parts of your life don't have to compete with each other. This is exactly what I teach my students. I like to say, you can design your life in a way that they will fuel each other. This is what I want to do. And this is a lot of what I base my programs on. And I like to talk about work-life harmony instead of work-life balance. Because when we talk about balance, we automatically imagine scales. So they have to be same parts, same weight on both sides. And this is why I think whenever we feel like we work more hours than we spend with our family, then we are breaking that balance. But this is how I like to think about it. I believe that you achieve the best results in anything you do, whether it's your interaction with your family or your work thing, when you fully focus on what you're doing right now. I stand strongly against multitasking. And if we accept that fact that you have to focus on one thing at a time, then there is no such thing as balance, because once you focus on one thing, you automatically put aside everything else. So to me, it's not about trying to get that balance or find that balance, because to me, I don't think you can ever find it, especially in our modern world where the boundaries between life and work and all other parts of your life, because really there is more than just life and work. There are friends, there is parenting, there is a romantic relationship, there is social life, there is work, maybe several jobs. And there are no boundaries between them. So to me, it's about prioritizing, and prioritizing not in a way of absolutes, like work is more important to me, period, or family is more important to me, period. But what is more important right now, this minute? And for example, I have a very demanding corporate job besides having my own business. And sometimes I have to work late, or I have to step in and solve a challenge or solve a problem that happened. And I have to be okay with it. I have to prioritize doing that work thing right now. But then tomorrow I can prioritize taking the morning off because my daughter has a dance performance at school. To me, this is what true work-life harmony is about. It is about making those decisions that are aligned with your values and your priorities. Because once you know why you need to prioritize this thing now over others, you don't feel guilty. But then once you treat all your parts of your life equally, once you know that all of them are important, then you prioritize each one of them when it needs to be prioritized. And it gives you that flexibility, because you're not putting yourself in a box of, okay, I only start working at 9, I stop working at 5. For some of us, it might work. For me, it doesn't. It's just too fluid. It's too complicated. Life is too complicated. So I think it works much better when you give yourself this flexibility and this freedom to prioritize based on the need today, your need, the external world's needs, your family needs, your work needs. But then you just remember that your life is really multifaceted and you have all these parts. They're all important. So each one of them at some time needs to take priority. So you just keep that in mind and you know what to prioritize at each point in time.
I love that. I I talk to my students and the people in my community about this all the time, is about being present in the thing that you're doing. Because also something that's kind of underrated about doing that is you actually get so much more out of what you're doing. And most of those things actually end up taking a lot less time because you're focused on it. Right. And yeah. I'm not saying like when you're with your family, you're trying to rush through that time. That's not what I mean. But like at work activities or responsibilities or running errands or like whatever it is that you're doing, a lot of that stuff takes less time when you're like laser focused or at least like really honed in on achieving and focusing on that thing at that moment.
Yeah. And then you don't need to chase completing 100 things because you know that this is the most important thing you needed to do today, this afternoon, this morning. And once you complete it, you already feel good about yourself. You feel accomplished. And this is another thing that I think helps fuel your life, because once you are present in every part of your life, then you gain this positive energy of sense of accomplishment, of fulfillment, and you carry that energy to the other part of your life. I like to think of like a circle, that sometimes we get trapped in a circle of feeling constantly tired. We wake up in the morning, we are tired, we are already overwhelmed before we even start working. We rush through the day, we respond and react to a million emails, we don't get anything quote unquote done, even though we spin our wheels all day. We work late, we feel bad because again, we don't know what we were doing all day. We're stressed, we come back home, we are not present with the family, we feel guilty, we go to bed feeling bad, and we don't sleep well, and we wake up tired. And that cycle repeats over and over. But if we shift that cycle, if we disrupt that cycle, if we wake up in the morning and we ask ourselves, okay, what is my intention for today? What is one thing that I really want to get done today that is most important? It matters most today. We focus on that thing. And if we're really connected with why we chose this thing, then once we get it done, we will feel good. We don't need to complete all other things. We will feel better. We don't necessarily have to work late. We will feel much more accomplished, much more energized. We'll come back home feeling much more excited to spend time with our family. And we will even feel like we earned, quote unquote, rest because we did something good. So we'll feel like, okay, I can take some time for myself, which will energize us even more. We'll be much more present with our family, with our kids. We'll go to bed feeling at peace, feeling good about ourselves and about our day. We'll sleep good. We'll wake up tomorrow feeling rested. And we'll set another intention with even more ability to set that intention. So that's a completely different cycle. But all it took was that moment of mindfulness and presence. And honestly, moments of presence throughout the day as well, because we might get pushed in other directions. So it's really important to check in with yourself throughout the day and to create those moments when you can ground yourself and ask yourself the right questions and to bring yourself back on track to that good cycle so that you don't get trapped in that bad cycle.
Yeah, because once it starts, it just becomes autopilot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It just runs in the background and it just kind of becomes the way of life, and it really affects every aspect of who you are and the people around you as well. What about, because we're all humans, right? Like you can be doing good for a little while, but then, you know, you have a bad day or an off day or an off situation and you kind of fall back into some old patterns. Any recommendations on kind of resetting to get yourself back into that healthier harmony that we're working towards?
It all comes back to having those check-in points with yourself. It's almost like put it on the calendar, on the reminder, 3 times a day, in the morning, in the afternoon, because this is usually when our stress overwhelm starts to keep creeping, and at the end of the day. And you can even have some prompts. You don't even have to journal, but just some prompts. In the morning, it can be, what do I really want to accomplish today? Or what do I look forward to today? In the afternoon, it can be, how am I feeling right now? How can I ground myself? What do I appreciate about my life? Because usually when we get stressed and fixated on some stressful situation, we forget other good things. So sometimes even just thinking about gratitude or what you appreciate about your life can help calm us down. And at the end of the day, asking yourself, what good happened today? What went well today because of me? What did I do today to make today a good day? And just being by being more intentional about those things and remembering to ask yourself these questions, it will help bring you out and pull you out of those bad days, bad cycles, which we all have. So it all comes down to those little disruption, interjection points that we just inject in our life if we are intentional and if we are present and mindful. So it all comes down to just taking that time to slow down, right? To sit still, even though we are not sitting, even if it's just a second, split second, doesn't have to take long. But the first thing we have to train ourselves to do is to check in with ourselves, take a second to pause and to ask ourselves some of these questions.
You know, the reoccurring theme that I hear in this beautiful episode today is intentionality.
Yeah.
We've got to be intentional. I think that sometimes we think that change is just going to magically happen. And, you know, in a sense, it does come down to us. It is our responsibility. Nothing changes if nothing changes. But intentionality can be simple, right? It's just kind of these wake up moments where you're like coming back into yourself, coming back into your body, tapping back in, checking in with yourself. Like, these things are very simple, but they don't always feel easy.
Yeah.
But when we have intention, like this is, I'm prioritizing this, to use some of your words, then it becomes less of a thing that you have to think about all the time. And it just becomes more of a healthy habit that is just part of who you are.
Everything is a muscle. We have to train our physical muscles. We have to train our mental muscles the same way. We need to become more intentional about it in the beginning, but then it will become a habit. Once it becomes a habit, it makes it easier. But you're so right about the word intention. And this is why what I teach, I like to call life design, because the reason I love word design so much is because it is all about intention. It's about creating something with intention. It's about designing our life. It's about knowing what I want to achieve and making an intentional effort to do it, so that the life I live achieves the goal that I want to achieve. That it sets the example that I want to set for my children or for other people who are around me.
Absolutely. So my final question for you today, which I think is just a brilliant thing to end with, is you've got this beautiful three-step process to help get rid of mom guilt and shame. Right? Like we just carry around mountain loads of guilt and shame, especially when we're working moms. Talk me through these three steps to help us shift out of that, so we can release that, because we really don't have to feel guilt and shame anymore, do we?
Yeah, we absolutely don't. So it's not a quick three-step process, I'll be honest. It requires a lot of mindset shifts. But I think the step number one is understanding what causes feelings of guilt and shame. And this is usually when we either do something wrong, this is usually guilt, or when we believe that we are bad, this is the feelings of shame. And when it comes to being a parent, those feelings are related to, again, I work too much, which means I'm a bad mother. So like we talked about today, working too much doesn't mean automatically that you are a bad mother. I think what you really need to focus on is, instead of working mindlessly, it is about working with intention, working on something that brings you joy, that follows your passion, being really present with your job, creating some positive impact. Because by doing that, you are setting that example that your kids need. And that is your responsibility as a parent. That's your first responsibility. And your second responsibility, as we also discussed, is to make sure your emotional and mental container is full. And by doing something that fulfills that container, fills that container, you are fulfilling that responsibility. So once you reframe that, then your job is to find that joy and that energy in parts of your life that are not family related. And that might require, I wouldn't even say working less, but it might require being more present with your work. It might require reconnecting with your strengths, or maybe even changing a job if the current job is not aligned with who you are. It might require changes in your life, but it all starts with connecting with your values, with who you are, what you believe, what you want to stand for, what you want to create. Once you tap into that, and once you start building parts of your life, including job, around that, then you are not a bad mother anymore, because then you are, one, making sure that your container is full so that you can support your children, and two, you are showing them what it's like to be living a life when you put yourself first, when you pursue your dreams, your aspirations, when you're confident in your body, in your skin, when you stand up for what you believe. And this is what we want our children to experience in their life. And three, you are actually building that future that they will live in. And this is what will make you the best mother, but will also make you feel happier about yourself. It's like a win-win situation. And so then there is no guilt and there is no shame.
Amazing. Isn't it funny that the antidote to guilt and shame is taking care of yourself, the thing that we've been taught that we shouldn't do?
I know.
it's so good to have these conversations though, right? Because how many women are just struggling with this in silence or beating themselves up or maybe don't have people to turn to have this conversation with? So just to be able to have this space with you today and to bring enlightenment. I mean, you just shared so many beautiful, tangible things, simple things. I'd love to reinforce that these adjustments don't have to be big and complicated, that they actually get to be quite simple with a little bit of intention and purpose and focus. I want to make sure that everyone knows where to get in touch with you. So what's the best place that they can connect and find you online?
I have a website, thebravery.com. I am also very active on Instagram. I have my company Instagram account, The Bravery, and I have my personal Instagram account, Olena Mytrak, where I'm actually doing the challenge 365 days of meaning, where I post a photo every day and a little caption about what meaningful happened during that day. So come follow along. And I have my own podcast that's called Bravery Handbook, where I share my own personal stories and how I navigate life and what learnings I learn along the way and what it really takes to be a woman and a mother in the modern world. So I would love to connect with all of you there.
Amazing. We'll make sure that we put those links in the show notes. And Olena, I would love to know, what does the word gutsy mean to you?
It is about listening to your gut, and it is about really doing what you believe you should be doing rather than following all the noise that's out there that is telling you what to do. It's about listening to yourself and being brave to pursue what your gut tells you.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time and your wisdom today. This has been a really beautiful episode that I know that so many women are going to take a ton away from. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You heard it today, my friend. You get to take care of yourself. You get to take care of your kids, and you get to do both of them really well. Because when you pour into yourself, when you fill that container like Olena talked about, you get to just create such a beautiful life for your kids, and you set an example that it's okay to be a human, it's okay to do the things that you love, and it's okay to build your life in your own way. I think one of the most important things in this world is having a community of people, people that are like you, people that hear you, people that understand you. And so pretty soon the Gutsy Collective is relaunching in a new way that I'm super aligned with and very excited to bring to you. And so if community is something that you've been looking for, if guidance, if simple teachings like hold my hand but let me do my own thing, if that's really resonating with you, then come over to my website, go to lauraora.com/connect and sign up for my newsletter. That's going to make sure that you get notifications as the Gutsy Collective begins to relaunch. You can also connect with me on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. You can find me using @ThatLauraAura. And as always, until I see you next time, stay gutsy.